Welcome to the Canon Cantina, a Star Wars show where we answer the question, who is Luke Skywalker? My name is Jesse, and I'm here with my co-host Mike in our summer session we got going here, Mike. It's hot, we're busy, and things are happening.
Is it this thing on? I kind of don't remember how it works. It's been long enough.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that. I'm awake. It's on. Yeah, so we're back in the saddle again, per se, and today it's canon, finally. Mike is breathing a sigh of relief, which...
Well, you know, I was until I read our source material today, which put me in a foul mood.
Mike, I've got a lot of thoughts. I think we're learning a lot about canon and Legends, especially with the modern fresh take on both of them, especially Legends, of course, but... The canon, too, I don't know. We had a discussion with this on our episode with our special guest, Zach Bunn. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of interesting things. It's like Legends tried to do too much and get too weird, and canon's trying to do too little and drag their feet. And then sometimes that just leads to a boring story, and that might be the case today. I'm sorry, listeners. That's just the truth today.
Well, that is the truth when you're speaking about the comics.
That's right.
Because we're focused on Luke, that's where most of the new canon material is. I will say that most of the new canon books I've read that don't really feature Luke, but are other characters, or even like Leia and Bloodlines, those are baller.
Right.
They're not dragging their feet. The novels are really good, in my opinion. But yeah, we've hit a rough spot here in our Luke-centric comics.
Right. It's really unfortunate for our Luke canon. Like you said it well, Mike, because... There's not a lot of Luke canon material, and Luke canon material is either slow, boring, or just absolute terrible, like Heir to the Jedi. So it's just, we don't really have much Luke stuff, and we actually truly have very little of Han and Leia, too. We actually have the most of Leia in canon.
We clearly did our research before we started this podcast on how much canon material we have to talk about.
That's right. To be fair to these Marvel comics, and to be fair to canon, Mike, Luke is prominently displayed in these comics, actually more so than any other canon material that exists right now. It's just not a very exciting time because they're dragging their feet till Empire, and they're dragging it in a big way. I don't think a lot of time has passed in this Marvel story to this point, but that's right. We're back in the Marvel story, and we haven't been here in quite some time, Mike. And the last story you weren't a very big fan of, if you remember that one. That was the one that was all the individual stories with the different characters. It was fun, though, at times.
It was more fun than the one we read today, that's for sure.
That's right. So before we get into our story today, which is the next issues of Marvel Comics, The Ashes of Jedi, which, Mike, this cover alone and the title had me the most excited to do this. And I've actually been reading this off for a long time, so it'd be fresh in my mind for the show, and unfortunately, maybe
they got you.
They got me. I mean, just this cover, Luke's like on the surface of Jeddah. There's, you know, it's the planet's destroyed, his lightsaber's out. He's got this interesting white cloak in this. He's never worn a white cloak before that we've seen, fully white, and this sort of iteration of Luke. But yeah, the book, comic, graphic novel, it's just not quite there. But we'll get to that. So, Mike, you want to read our Luke questions that we started our stories off with?
Sure. So, it's been a while. I actually had to go back and read these because I didn't exactly remember how we phrased all of them. So, we look at what state is Luke in as he begins his journey? How do the events and characters he encounters impact his development as a hero? And for our canon sources like today, is this consistent with the characters presented across the films, comics, and books?
All right, let's jump right in.
Ever since Luke disappeared, people have been looking for him.
We've passed on all we know.
A lot of rumors, stories.
And I became a legend.
People that knew him best.
Luke.
Young Skywalker.
Luke.
It's all true.
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
All of it.
A thousand generations live in you now.
So, Mike, this story begins in a pretty exciting way. At least it was my favorite part of the story. We're on Jeddah, okay? and there are rebel operatives that are downed in a speeder, airspeeder. And once again, we've learned, you know, through canon and through legends that, you know, the airspeeder wasn't just used on Hoth, and it's a ship the Rebel Alliance uses quite often for scouting and just for short range missions. And there's some rebel operatives down on a speeder, and they are being surrounded by stormtroopers and snowtroopers. And now we know that the snowtroopers are just, it's not just necessarily snow, it's hostile conditions on the planet, right? So that's
adverse environment troopers.
That's exactly what they are. because they've got all sorts of breathing apparatus, they've got temperature regulating suits, they've got all sorts of environmental gear, and they're pinned down. And what do you know? Where's our hero when we begin the story? Luke is saving the rebels that are trapped at the downed speeder. And he's on I don't know what you call this, Mike, a steed of some sort.
It's got horse legs, but the body of it looks like a gray skinny dewback.
It kind of looks like the monster from the new Godzilla film, the Gareth Edwards Godzilla film, his like head and his body. It's like weird, weird kind of like beakish face and mouth, but then yeah, kind of muscular, but yeah, horse legs, but they're angled at weird spots.
It does not look as cool as the space horses we've seen from the Rise of Skywalker.
Right.
Stuff.
Very long legs, like giraffe legs, really. And looks, it's pretty cool. Luke's coming into battle with his lightsaber.
I'm just going to pretend he's riding a Star Wars giraffe now. Thanks for that.
Of course. And Luke and Leia.
Lightsaber drawn and ignited.
That's right. And there's another horse giraffe Godzilla monster behind Luke, and it's Leia.
Horse giraffe Godzilla monster.
And she picks up the people who were stranded, and they get away barely. And you know, that's kind of our story's begun. They get away onto the Falcon. We could start there, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm typically all in for these, you know, jump right into the action.
Yeah.
You know, starts to our story. So they make it clear that we are at Jeddah. Han.
That's right.
Leia and Luke are here. before we started, Jesse was like, why are they at Jeddah? And the real answer is because Rogue One came out.
That's right.
But I'm sure there's some narrative reason for it.
Yeah, there was a crawl at the beginning. It just says the rebels are looking for a new base for their operation. And meanwhile, the Galactic Empire has returned to Jeddah and attempt to collect the remaining kyber crystals that survived the Death Star's attack. So the Empire is here trying to get kyber crystals, and the rebels are checking it out, basically. But in doing so, Luke and Leia save these operatives. And Mike, I don't know if you noticed the little Imperial recon shuttle thing that was in Rebels.
The same one from Rebels, yeah.
That's right.
Definitely noticed.
So it's kind of has... If anyone hasn't seen the ship and Rebels we're talking about, I don't actually know the name of this ship because Mike and I are not Rebels experts, but it is looks like a TIE fighter cockpit, essentially, with the LAT clone trooper gunner type like body, like the clone trooper gunner ship that's mainly an airspeeder, right? And then it has little tiny TIE wings on it. So it's kind of like a mix of the clone trooper LAT gunner and some sort of TIE advanced or something. But it's, of course, as we know, just like the airspeeder, it's a ground-based air atmosphere ship, Mike, you'd call it that. And it's similar to the snowspeeders and the airspeeders. But I just thought that was a nice little callback before we get into our actual story here.
A quick search of Wikipedia, right? Has failed me. I have not found the correct...
It's some kind of gunship, as we know, you know, and... it's something the Empire uses for recon missions on the planets, like we saw them doing in Rebels a lot. But once again, for story reasons in this, and I think, of course, what we were shown in Rebels, I don't think it can go into space. It has to be picked up by a Star Destroyer or something before it goes into space, just like the airspeeders of the Rebels. So that's important because they get away on the Falcon and they escape it. And then we see Jeddah, Mike, and it's pretty cool, actually.
Well, before we see Jeddah, we see page 12. Page 12 is the first time
pretty interesting.
We run into the art.
Oh, man. Do we have to talk about this? So it's Han first, right? Is that what you're talking about?
It's Luke, actually.
Oh, okay. I see it now.
Or at least it's Comixology page 12.
Okay.
not sure what it is in the print edition.
Oh, man.
But yeah, Luke is standing in front of the Falcon. His hair is the wrong color.
Right.
And this is the first instance we see of the faces being photoreal-ish superimposed on comic bodies.
Yeah, we got to talk about this.
The art throughout this entire book is bad.
Yeah, let's talk about the let's just talk about this. The horse giraffe Godzilla monster in the room here. This is like this started with the Screaming Citadel, Mike, and you and I referenced this. The second half of the Screaming Citadel, first half of the Screaming Citadel was gorgeous. I mean, it was outright beautiful stuff. We had the gothic stuff, meaning Star Wars, meaning great comic book art. But the second half of the Screaming Citadel, they got kind of lazy. And if you remember that part where Han got possessed, he had this weird face thing going on.
I had forgotten.
And other things like that, that happened in the second half of the Screaming Citadel. And we were like, oh, we hope that never happens again. So you guys are listening in audio format, Mike. So let's try to describe what this looks like to someone just listening in audio format. It is not only bad art, it is inconsistent with comics. I don't know how you describe it, but essentially it's an effect in the computer creating the characters' faces rather than them drawn. And this is really apparent because the effect is semi-photorealistic. It's actually taking photo references.
But just the face.
But just the face. So we have Luke and his Luke get up, his clothes, it's hand-drawn. Including his lightsaber and blaster and stuff on his belt. But then you have his face that almost looks like this CG amalgamation of a photorealistic, it's like a Photoshop effect over a photo, I guess.
Yeah. And so the artist, Salvador La Roca, has been on Star Wars since issue 26.
Right.
And he has done all sorts of Marvel comics. He's done, going back into the 90s even. The most memorable one for me is he did Iron Man.
That's right.
From 2008 through 2012. he is a good comic book artist. But I think what changed is they brought on a new colorist, which is just credited as Guru EFX.
Uh-oh.
And woof.
It's a company.
Trying to take some digital approach to getting more photorealism, I guess, in Star Wars it's not produced good results, in my opinion.
No.
it's not like referencing a photo and drawing it. It's like taking a photo, putting a few Photoshop lines on it. Yeah, like a filter, and then moving that face onto a decently drawn comic body.
It's so weird.
The art outside of the faces is good.
Yeah, it is good art.
In this.
It's consistent with what we've seen in this series before, but Screaming Citadel onward, we've seen this pop up. But Mike, this series, this particular Ashes of Jeddah line, it's used liberally. I mean, it's used 85-95% of the time.
Well, and the thing is, we say photo references, so they're taking old images of Han, Luke, and Leia from the movies.
That's right.
There's new characters that this looks terrible on that we've never seen before that this shouldn't be an issue with.
Yeah, it's like they're taking photos.
We'll talk about in a little bit.
It's like they're taking photos of the artists and writers, maybe, and using that's what I was thinking. I was like, who is the facial reference?
I hope that Salvador La Roca is one of these looks characters. Looks like General Kamchar. Oh, man. Or
whatever. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Mike. Hopefully, we don't see this in the future, but it's bad. And, us being the Star Wars nerds we are, not only is this photo reference, like we said, from Luke, Han, and Leia, but it's straight shots from the original trilogy. Han and Leia's and Luke's heads are tilted the exact same way. There's a scene in a little while with Han at a table. It's literally the same photograph of Han, like when he's at the table in the cantina talking to Obi-Wan and Luke, right? I mean, there's just so many things that are blatant ripoffs, and it's bad.
So you've seen those posts like, I forced a bot to watch 1,000 hours of Friends and then had it write a Friends episode. Right. That's kind of what this is. I forced a bot to watch 1,000 hours of Star Wars and spit out a Star Wars story. It's going to just take those faces that it knows and those positions that it knows.
That's true.
And try to create new content around. Oh God, I hope that the scenes with Carrie in episode 9 aren't this bad, because that's basically what I just described.
Oh man, that would be no. That's not going to happen. JJ wouldn't allow banish that to happen.
It. Forget I ever said. Yeah,
please. So before we get to my favorite character that's brought back into this, even though he doesn't get as much of a part as I'd like, let's talk about the new characters we have here, Mike, before we get into the story, because it can kind of get confusing. So you've already mentioned Kamchar. He's a new Imperial villain. Do you want to talk about him? I know you're very excited about this villain. Yeah. He's very unique and layered character we got here.
He's like a beefier Bill Goldberg, for those of you that ever watched wrestling or whatever.
Right over my head.
I mean, even I didn't. I just watched terrible movies that he Goldberg. Was in back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I remember Goldberg.
You know, just like super beefy, but like shaved head with goatee. The like white goatee. Yeah. But he's also a pirate because he has an eye patch and a mechanical arm. He's like
seen combat.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to get that's out of this. Okay. Yeah, it's he's a stupid looking character who has, I don't know whose face that actually is that they're superimposing on it, but it's very disturbing. And then we also meet Queen Trios of Shu-Torin, who like the two components of her,
right?
Like her face is fine,
yeah,
on its own. If it was like separated and just put on a normal person, but she's wearing armor that. Yeah, she's wearing armor, first off, really.
That's right.
And to me, it looks something like, for those of you that play like Smash Brothers or Nintendo games.
Oh, man.
That like Pit or Palutena would be wearing.
Okay, fair enough.
Like I did some not sort think of that, like,
but yeah.
Futuristic, like mythic armor. I don't know, man.
So here's what I get about this
shit's weird.
This lady, Mike. I feel like this is the canon's version of the Hapen cluster, the Hapen consortium, because the
maybe
and yeah. The way they introduce her into the story, they're wealthy, they're kind of Renaissance era meets like space age, they're kind of, you know what I mean, they're kind of like regal, very much like what we encountered in The Courtship of Princess Leia in our Legends episode. Those people, I'm not sure what's gonna, well, if we'll see more of their people in the story, I bet we will. We'll see what happens. But also what's funny to me, and you know, I got to draw these correlations while we're here, because this is a canon and Legends show. I feel like Kamchar is a weird version of Admiral Screed, too, if you remember him at all. But he was a one-eyed admiral. He did not have a crazy buff robot arm.
And he was not a crazy buff dude.
No, but he was scary, and he was very intense, and he he commanded a Gladiator class Star Destroyer and all these sort of things, which was all Legends now. He also was in the Droids cartoon. There's a lot of things where Screed was in, which is so funny. Yeah. But it's just interesting.
So Kamchar is at Jeddah.
Wants the Kyber crystals.
He wants the Kyber crystals, and Queen Trios has like mining rights, or is some sort of, her people are mining experts. That's why she's there.
Yeah. And they're helping the Empire. They're kind of like, they're not in full alliance with the Empire, but they're like, don't kill us. We'll help you out. Be mutual for us, the Empire, together. Yeah,
so they're basically trying to scrape whatever Kyber is left out of the 7/8 of a planet that remains of Jeddah.
That's right.
Because the explosion didn't stop at Jeddah City. That's just when the camera cut away in Rogue One. There are giant chunks of the planet missing.
Right. But people still live here.
Yeah, but people still live like on the opposite side from the blast.
Just crazy. So let's now talk about our two other new characters, Mike. We have Ubin and Chulko. So they're essentially the people that Luke and Leia save at the beginning. The people are in the down speeder on Jeddah, pinned down by Imperials. And, you know, these characters aren't super deep, but basically Ubin is a Rebel Special Forces commando, is what I gather.
Yeah, and she's left the Alliance to go work with the Partisans. They're all trying to track down Saw's Partisans.
That's right. Saw Gerrera's people in Rogue One.
Yeah. And Chulko is one of the weirdos in the red robes that were kind of in the background of the Jedha scene of Rogue One.
Right. The guys that do the pilgrimage.
An acolyte?
Of the Wills?
No, I am an aspirant. No, here, I'm actually looking at it. I am an aspirant to the disciples of the Wills. I want to be a servant to the Wills.
He's not even at, yeah, he's not even at Donnie Yen's level yet. He's not even close.
Yeah.
You know, so. But really, all we have these characters in the story for is for our main three characters, Han, Luke, and Leia, to find the real side character hero of this. Two tubes, and specifically one of the two tubes, right?
Well, two of the four tubes, if you're going to be that right. literal.
That's right.
They basically, what's her name? Ubin takes our heroes to the Partisans.
Right.
And they come face to a bag over the head covered face
again
with benthic two tubes.
That's right. So if you didn't remember two tubes from Rogue One, he was like character design awesomeness.
He's a scary looking guy.
Yeah, scary guy from Rogue One that was Saw Gerrera's right hand man. He's the guy with the gas mask with the tubes, and he has kind of a semi cybernetic head, and he's the guy that of course had Bodhi Rook encountered him first. But yeah, it's interesting to see Han, Luke, and Leia encounter him. And he's kind of harsh for some that meet him.
Just as he is in Rogue One. So exactly. If we're going to force this, you know, collaboration, at least they're being consistent.
That's right.
I guess.
We got weird Han face in the cantina talking to two tubes. Just weird things like that. And basically they're trying to make an alliance with the Partisans, right? I mean, they're trying to bridge the gap. They're trying to be like, you know, Saw would want this and things like that. And it's, you know, Leia pulls a lot of diplomatic things out, but it doesn't really seem to work, if that makes sense. And, you know, we got a lot of interesting things here about Two Tubes and Saw, which I find pretty interesting. Two Tubes tells us Saw Gerrera once bombarded a party of collaborating citizens with flechettes just to send a message to the Imperials. So like he's kind of painting the picture to Luke, Leia, and Han, like, hey, we're not part of your Rebel Alliance. We're something else entirely.
You remember when we said that we were extreme? Well, this is how extreme.
Yeah. Extreme. Yeah. So that doesn't go so well, but you know, that's kind of the whole arc with Two Tubes in this, you know, and once again,
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say we go back to the villains, and not a lot happens. Just our Kamchar guy kills an officer with his bare robot arm.
Kamchar is the Star Wars version of like Dr. Robotnik or something. Just a mustache twirling like villainous idiot who shows up for a page to give some exposition and then kills an underling and then goes away.
So bad. But then we go back to Han, Luke, and Leia and Two Tubes, and like they're actually on Jedha, and like Luke's like, people still live here, and Leia's like, they have nowhere to go, you know what I mean? And like it's just kind of, we're also learning about the pilgrims that stayed, the pilgrims of for the Wills, right? Like in the Force Pilgrimage.
The Temple of the Wills. Yeah. So this is where, surprise, Luke splits off from Han and Leia to kind of go do his own thing.
Right. Like Jedi
Han
does.
And Leia work closely with the Partisans, right? With Ubin. What the hell is her name? the Special Forces lady. Ubin? It starts with a U.
Ubin.
Ubin, yeah. And Two Tubes. They kind of handle, you know, the military-ish side of stuff, right? And Luke goes with Chulko to meet some of these acolytes, and he thinks he's going to have a chance to learn more about the Force from this temple on Jedha, which that part, you know, does closely align with what we're trying to look at.
That's right.
Here on the show, how is Luke, you know, growing in the Force? What is he learning? And is it, you know, developing him as a character? And at this point, it's still interesting because, yeah, like we know that there are Force sensitives outside of the Jedi.
Right.
Luke's not a Jedi yet, so what can he learn right. from these people? This is a perfectly like logical, legit thing for Luke to go off on his own and do. Leia's not happy about it.
Yeah, she's like, leave us right now.
Yeah. He's like, but I need to be a Jedi. Yeah.
He does.
Just like I need those power converters from Tashi Station. He needs them.
Keep in mind, this is pre-Empire Luke. We always say that. But so Luke and Chulko go on their pilgrimage to this like temple site. And, you know, once again, Mike, another funny Legends connection. Luke fights like a lava sandworm on the way, just like he did with Gantoris on his planet.
I thought the exact
yeah,
same
I'm thing. Glad you did. Surely there's a nod there. If not, we can't be the only two people on the planet, you know what I mean, that picked up on that. Yeah. There's story writers that get paid for this sort of thing. But, yeah, Luke kills a lava sandworm on the way to the pilgrimage and, you know, Luke says, I didn't want to kill it, and I could sense it. It wasn't it. It was controlled by something. And that's kind of alluding to what we're going to get to on the next parts here, where Luke and Chulko run into these, what do you call them, priests, elders? I don't know.
Acolytes?
Yeah, acolytes? Something.
So they are going towards the side of the planet that has been destroyed. They're right. going towards, I think they call it the abyss or the chasm.
That's right.
Chasm, that's what it is. Which is kind of like the border of where the temple used to be and where these acolytes or whatever are hanging out now.
Right.
And these acolytes look kind of cool.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, I like them.
They got some neat masks on.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is like even the background is red the entire time. This is clearly like a nexus of the dark side now.
That's right. And I mean, we can go over Luke's story here real quick, but basically the dark side's everywhere. Luke doesn't know it quite yet. Chulko actually gets tempted and drawn in by the dark side and actually tries to kill Luke.
Yes. So Chulko is a Force sensitive.
That's right.
Who is not strong enough to resist the dark side. He's overpowered by this place. Yeah. These acolytes, they're crazy. They're like, oh,
they're kind of worshiping.
No, we are here to they're like, we're here to die and it's going to be awesome and we're going to learn from it.
I kind of love this.
And you're going to do the same thing.
This is very like Lovecraft-esque, you know. There's like this power nexus and there's these like acolytes and cultists like, you know, living by it and kind of worshiping it and Luke ends up killing Chulko because in self-defense and he's like, I'm so sorry. And Luke kind of resists the dark side or resists the temptation of these acolytes, basically. If that makes sense. And you know, this is pretty interesting. And what's funny, Mike, is the end of this, they tell him your friends need you. And he says, we mean literally.
Yeah. So these acolytes speak normally in, like here's just a quote before just a few pages before what Jesse was talking about. Death has brought you here. Death of a world. Death of your family. True. Death of your friends. Death of your teachers. And Luke's like, how did you know that? Well, they just said they were just guessing at people you know that are probably dead now.
But they're all dead. All those people are dead.
And they keep calling him Pilgrim.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you know, like he's on the pilgrimage, but I just can't help every time this place near, I read it like John Wayne. It is clear for both you and the pilgrim.
Yeah, so Luke resists him, but then they basically tell him, okay, you passed the test in a way. Go save your...
That was a terrible John
Wayne. Go save your friends.
I can't do a better one.
Yeah, we're not doing it right now.
How you doing, pilgrim?
Pilgrim. Man.
Man. The rest of this episode will just be me practicing my John Wayne Pilgrim
impression. Yeah, we'll get there. Maybe not. But then we have a conflict between... We got Kamchar and Trios with a giant mining weapon. They're trying to mine more of Jeddah.
Well, right? So if you're trying to do a callback to Legends, they have the modern version of a World Devastator. It's definitely just a super massive, like... excavator.
Yep.
That, like, they even say it's so big that once it's loaded up, we probably won't be able to get it off the planet. We're just going to have to
just leave it.
Like, go down and get, yeah.
And this story kind of comes to a head. What's interesting, Mike, I'm going to make some interesting points in this story. How do any side characters significantly contribute to Luke's growth? I would say Chulko contributes quite a bit, and so does Two Tubes in some ways, because Two Tubes actually murders some people in front of Luke.
That's true. And Luke's like, "You did that?" Yeah. And Two Tubes is like, "I told you not to watch."
Yeah, he's like, "Don't watch." He's like, "Look away." And so it's kind of a more extreme version of...
You don't like it? Don't watch, nerd.
Yeah, that's right. It's a more extreme version of, like, we have Cassian, you know, like, it's sort of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But a more hardened version of Cassian. And Luke's like, that's not right. That's not what we do in the rebellion, you know? So they're just kind of, they're juxtaposing Luke and then, you know, like the partisans. But I thought that was interesting.
Oh, that definitely was. That was way more interesting than the way they, like, shoehorn Jyn Erso's name in, like, once an issue.
Yeah, they're like Jyn Erso in Rogue One. Which, you know.
Don't forget the hero Jyn Erso and what they did in Rogue One.
I thought it was cool that Leia said that. But when Luke started saying it, I was like, wait a second. It's clearly Leia knows. And you want to talk about shoehorning, Mike. Let's not forget the scene of, once again, straight CG face shots of Leia talking to Bail on Yavin.
Oh yeah.
And you know, yeah.
We get some Jimmy Smits.
It's an okay scene. I like it. Cause you know, I really like Bail and I like Jimmy Smits, but, you know, he basically tells Leia what the plan is with Rogue One. And, he's like, I trust you basically, you know, and there's no one better. And you know, but Leia says at the end of this, which I thought was pretty interesting. I didn't know then when my father left, but it was a mission briefing for my whole life. So she's kind of basically saying, because he says, there's nothing you can't deal with and there's no one better and I trust you more than anyone. So he's kind of like, he gave her a dad talk before he left. You know?
It's true.
Like, you can lead the rebellion.
And that was the last thing he said.
Pretty cool. But, you know, basically, we're going to wrap this story up, Mike. The Falcon destroys the mining weapon. Luke goes and fights Kamchar because why not?
Oh, and Kamchar's arm turns into his robot arm. It turns into a vibroblade and flamethrower. He's like, why would I shoot lasers at you like an idiot? I'm going to shoot fire.
I kind of like that.
That's not far off from a direct quote. He's like, if I had my way, the clones would have all had fire.
For the Jedi. Yeah, I kind of like that. I was like, he was like, what idiots shooting lasers at Jedi when we know they can deflect.
Kamchar is a 1990s video game boss that somehow became an Imperial general.
So right. Yeah, give every clone a flamethrower. Destroy the Jedi. Yeah, so Luke fights him, and Luke actually fights him in a pretty interesting way because we don't actually see a lightsaber sword fight. We actually see Luke running away from him and using his environment to his advantage to fight him. And Luke ignites a... an iron.
Well,
you can say it.
Yeah, when your environment includes an ion torpedo,
that's right.
Which those of us that have played like the X-Wing games or tabletop or computer,
that's
really,
right.
We know that in the Star Wars universe, ion weapons
disable,
you know, cause electronics to fail. So it's like, I'm going to shoot an ion torpedo at this guy that's half cybernetic, and sure enough, it shuts him down.
That's right. They blow up the stuff. So, get away.
Before we wrap up, we do need to talk about Queen Atreus.
That's right.
Because she has an encounter with Leia where she basically says, my people have been, you know, subjugated by the Empire. Right. I wanted to come here to meet with... She's basically acting as double agent. She is on the surface, you know, using her, like, mining rights or whatever to Jedha, to work with the Empire. But she wants to support the rebellion, and just because we've read the titles of issues to come, we know that Shu Torin, I think,
is in one of the next titles.
It is going to play a major part. So this lady wearing the weird armor that doesn't fit in Star Wars is probably going to be here again.
That's right.
So I am looking at page 113, okay. According to Comixology, and Kamchar his head has changed. He's not just a bald dude with a eye patch. He looks like the Klingons from Star Trek Discovery now with the much more subdued like head. He's got three distinct like ridges over the middle of his head. The art is just so like bad. Like you're better than this, Salvador.
That's so weird. What?
It's just not consistent at all.
The faces, I mean, like you're saying, it's so weird that they, I don't know, that they even change between like non-movie characters. Does that make sense? I don't know how to say it. But like, as Mike's saying, these like, new characters. Like
your original characters that you came up with are not consistent from issue one to issue five.
It's so strange. Yeah, I don't really know. But yeah, it's funny you say Star Trek Discovery. Yeah, I was actually, I finally got caught up fully on that show, and that was great. So
I still haven't seen season two yet.
So. Yeah, so
no spoilers,
but it's very enjoyable. Yeah, I'm glad this is over, Mike. I like seeing Two Tubes, but you know, and especially his interactions with Luke. But you know,
well, so let's hop to our last question. Is this consistent with the Luke that we've seen in the films, current Marvel comics, and new canon books? I think the answer is still yes, even though the story itself was not enjoyable, which is an interesting conclusion to come to.
Yeah,
because he learned, you know, that there the dark side is not just Darth Vader. It's not just, you know, the Emperor or whatever. He's found a vergence or nexus of the dark side here on Jedha, and knows there are other force sensitive people.
No, I like that part a lot.
So that mythology, you know, is definitely expanded here by the run in with these cultists that are ready to die by falling off the cliff or whatever. But just the story around this character growth sucks, which I guess is an improvement over the last three Legends books we talked about where there was no growth and the story kind of sucked.
It's different. Yeah. I mean, obviously more happened in those books than this, but it's hard to judge them side by side, but
yeah, I agree. But, and technically more happened there, but Luke didn't really change any. Cause we said that at the end of that trilogy,
kind of got around with Callista,
that a lot happened, but it was all blah. And he was kind of the same.
Yeah.
Luke definitely grew here in the short span of this story. The story just kind of was bad.
Yeah, what's pretty interesting, Mike, about these comic stories is they really do focus on Luke a lot. Han and Leia are kind of side characters, even though Leia gets a bigger part with her rebellion stuff, and Han's kind of there. Han and Chewie are just kind of there. Chewie's in this, by the way. We just didn't mention him. And I don't know. I like that Luke's actually going around encountering different force sensitives. He's, you know, like he's fighting the game master right on Nar Shaddaa, and he's learning melee combat, right? There's certain things that are happening that are expanding his skills. We talked about his leveling up and his world experiences, which make him more basically the man that we see him in Empire, which, you know, several years have passed and he's seen a lot in the rebellion. So they're trying to spread that out, but they are getting a little like, they are getting a little head noddy, which bothers me sometimes. Like, oh, he encountered Vader, and oh, he encountered Two Tubes and learned about Jyn Erso. And it's like, come on.
And we are bagging on the story now, but I don't want that to come across as bagging on Kieran Gillen, because he's written a lot of the Star Wars run up to this point. This is a low point of it.
It is enjoyable.
Also written a lot of other comics. Thor, Dark Avengers, Young Avengers. Iron Man, I remember reading when those issues were coming out.
Like you said,
he's written some X-Men. So, like, the dude is legit. This is just a weak arc.
And once again, this might be more of a product of canon and the story group and what Kieran can actually write. What's he allowed to write?
And marketing synergy. Listener, man. I'm interlocking my fingers synergy.
So, I'm excited to see where the story goes, Mike. We've been enjoying this Marvel run the whole time, even the low parts, because it's just fun to read. And it's kind of fun to see the new canon of what Luke, Han, and Leia were doing before Empire. But I want to see what they're doing after Empire. I keep saying that. I'm going to keep saying it. Because to me, that even that couple month period, the Shadows of the Empire period in Legends, to me is much more interesting because they're all dramatically changed after Empire. We know that.
You're going to have to wait 6 more months because that's coming once Rise of Skywalker comes out.
It'll
be way
after that. I know. It'll probably be even longer after that. But
I don't think so. I think that they're getting close to Empire from what I've read about the upcoming comics. I haven't read them yet.
That's true.
I think we're getting close to Empire. So hopefully, like, early next year, we get into that time period.
Well, that was this week's story. But we've got a lot of news and some other things to get to, so we probably should move on. So the Canon Canteen is supported by our wonderful patrons on Patreon. If you'd like to help this show and support us, go to patreon.com/thecanoncantina and sign up for one of our support tiers. What Patreon is just a monthly opt-in subscription to help us pay our bills and to you make this show happen. If you listen to podcasts, I guarantee you know what Patreon is. And we have a secret stash second.
It's how we beg for money.
Feed of the Patreon. It's a second show. We talk about episodes about things that aren't necessarily Star Wars and maybe even sometimes Star Wars. And we've been releasing some of these every once in a while on the main feed to give you guys a preview of what it's like. If you want to know what it's like, look at our secret stash episodes. We have a couple on the main feed. Give them a listen. If you enjoy it, consider signing up and help us out. And also, Mike, we also have a TeePublic page, which every once in a while sells some shirts.
Oh, yeah.
we keep forgetting to mention it, but it's teepublic.com/user/thecanoncantina. Also, if you just type in the Canon Cantina on TeePublic, you should be able to find at least our main logo. But we have two art designs on there. And TeePublic does get a very large cut, most of the cut of our stuff. But most importantly, you guys get to wear our shirts and represent the Canon Cantina. And the people that have bought that stuff, you're awesome. And when I see it, it's great. So that's just a way to support the show in a different way, basically spread the word of the show.
All right, so we're going to move into the news. And it's been it's been a few weeks since we've actually recorded a new
episode. Yeah, I need to hear that news from the HoloNet.
And now for a HoloNet news exclusive.
But it's been a while since we've talked about the news. We're not going to talk about every single thing that's happened.
Right, there's a lot.
In Star Wars in the past, like, 3 weeks.
There's a lot.
Well, a lot of it is related to Galaxy's Edge, which we kind of want to just dedicate a separate episode to. A lot of it has to do with comics, the Age of Rebellion and Age of Republic comics that we haven't read yet because we're cheap and waiting for them to come to Marvel Unlimited or Comixology.
Well, we already pay those fees, so yeah, be nice. Well, you know me, Mike. I'd buy the graphic novels of those, but those take even more time, as you know.
In case you missed it, tickets went on sale to Celebration 2020 in Anaheim. And oh my God, did they go fast.
Pretty much instantaneous. I was talking with my friend about this and they were pretty much gone right off the bat. Mike, the 4 day passes, right?
Yeah. Jesse, did you buy tickets to Celebration Anaheim?
I think you would know the answer to this already. No, I did not, Mike.
Well, I thought I knew the answer, but if you said yes, I was going to be quite upset because I didn't buy tickets either. there wasn't just a whole lot of time between the announcement of when tickets would go on sale and then when they did go on sale. Honestly, I just couldn't afford to buy tickets yet. Yeah. And so I'm banking on what kind of happened with Celebration Chicago and kind of with Anaheim, we ended up going there, is just more tickets being released closer to the actual event. Because we are still more than a year away. It's next August.
Yeah. And also, you know, the whole potential of podcast media stuff, too.
Well, going into that, even though we did not buy tickets with the initial wave, the Canon Cantina will be at Celebration Anaheim in some form.
Some form.
We're going to do our best to have a live show, on the podcast stage. If that's still a thing next year, we're definitely going to apply for that.
We loved it. Yeah.
We loved it. And I think they liked us. Right. So maybe we get to go back, but even if we don't, we have started early plans for having an offsite show live. So we will be at Celebration Anaheim
in some form,
in some capacity. We don't know the full details of what that looks like yet, but yeah, we're not gonna miss it. We just might do our own show at a bar or brewery somewhere else. Yeah. And maybe we don't go to all 4 days if we can't get 4 day passes. I don't know.
That's true.
We will be there in some capacity and hope that you can come out and see us. That's literally all the detail I can go into for that, because it's still more than a year away. Yeah,
and we don't know anything else other than that. And you guys will be the first to know. If anything changes with us, we would obviously love to go. And, you know, you guys listening to the show, actually probably Ford's helping us get there, because if we have plans to have some sort of offsite podcast thing or the podcast stage again, all the support and follows and listens actually help us with that, because it helps the word of the show get out, I think, which is all good for us potentially. So,
and you know, I don't think I'm alone in saying that even if we don't get tickets to Celebration, we'll go do our show offsite, and then I might just try to hang out in Oga's Cantina at Galaxy's Edge with the rest of you for 4 days.
Yeah, I'd probably do that too. I'd probably enjoy that just as much in a lot of ways. So Mike, there's also been a lot of other news, and we can't go super in depth to all this, and it's probably something we're going to do in future episodes, but you know, as we get closer to time on a lot of the stuff, we're going to have more information. But E3 happened, if anyone was under a rock, if they're in the video game world.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of cool things happened at E3. You know, way cooler things, in my opinion, than even Fallen Order. Some things that happened there, like Keanu Reeves being a host. That's way cooler to me than even Fallen Order. But
2019 is the year of Keanu. Yes, it is.
Jedi Fallen Order came out, and they came out with more footage, and they came out with more sort of news on it, I suppose. And a lot of people were thinking it was going to be a very linear game, and they were still excited because they were saying, oh, wow, a Star Wars single-player game. That hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah, and just to give context, I am one of these people. I'm not actively avoiding Fallen Order stuff, but I'm not going out to watch it because I know I'm going to play it.
Well, what's really cool,
Avoiding spoilers, just basically.
People were a little concerned that it was going to be a very linear game, like maybe like The Force Awakens 2, where it's just super short and linear and all this sort of things. And, you know, they showed footage from it. It looks great. The interaction with Cal and his droid is great and things like that. But most importantly, you know, and the combat looks fine and things like that. But most importantly, they kind of revealed at E3 and the things post E3, because now we are at that point, that Fallen Order is actually going to be partially open world. A lot of it's going to be open world. And the way you tackle the story and the way you go around the planets, the way you go from planet to planet, is all up to you. And the story kind of progresses as you're doing that. And that was something that kind of blindsided everybody, made it a little bit more Spider-Man, a little less Force Unleashed. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah, more Spider-Man or Zelda Breath of the Wild. Right. In previous Zelda games, you'd had to do all the temples in the right order. Breath of the Wild, you could just kind of choose the order you did everything in. So it's been proven that it can work.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
It's exciting for a Star Wars game, too, because I don't think we've had, other than the RPGs, right, like KOTOR, of course, which is in a class all of its own. Like, we haven't really had freedom in any of the Star Wars games. It's been kind of just missions and linear sort of storytelling. So we will see what they do with this, but that got people a lot more excited, and that's probably the most relevant news about this. But yeah, once again, Mike, I've been keeping my eyes away from it as well, because I just kind of want to play it and enjoy it. You know, I feel like we already know plenty from just being in the Star Wars sphere that we are of news and info and, you know, fan-centric stuff. So I try not to look at it, but I'm just happy to know that it's not purely linear.
Yeah.
But yeah.
A couple last quick hitters in the news. If you have not watched the Galaxy of Adventures series on the Star Wars Kids YouTube channel, you're wrong. So this most recent episode, Jedi versus
Holy
Sith, super short, but if you're trying to describe what the Star Wars movies are about to somebody who's never seen them, in less than a minute and a half, they start with young Anakin in episode 1, And they take you through a logical, awesomely animated, quick progression up to episode eight. And it ends with this awesome splash page of all the good guys on the left, Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, Anakin when he was still a good guy, Mace, Luke, and Rey facing off against the Emperor, Darth Maul, Dooku, Darth Vader, and Kylo Ren. Like, this is the best one so far, and I've loved a lot of these.
Yeah, I've honestly loved them all, Mike, because I even some of the ones that were like scenes we knew or lines we knew, they showed different things, right? Like for instance, the Chewie and Han one, right? They showed a lot of Chewie and Han dialogue, but they showed different shots, different scenes of the Falcon, them piloting it. I don't know. It's really neat. These are great. I never expected these to be this good. I don't think anybody did, right? And I kind of like their anime tinge style. It really lends to just the action and the cuts. You know what I mean? Like the cuts.
Oh man. So I like Resistance, but I would almost rather have a show animated in this style.
I would too. Yeah.
Than the 3D, like Resistance to me looks so much like Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Which is great, but I would almost rather just have this 2D hand drawn. Well,
parts of this to me have a spiritual callback too, to the Gendy Clone Wars, the Clone Wars miniseries, you know, by the Samurai Jack guy. Yep. It's very much similar to that art style, which is great. But man, these are awesome. Show these to your kids. Show them to everyone though.
Show them to yourself, even if you don't have kids, because
there's
cool.
Like episodes, like they're all a minute 10 basically. There's about 5 seconds of the ad at the end for the channel, and they're all about minute 15, minute 13. And like there's one on just Vader versus the Hoth rebels, and we see Vader doing more fighting on Hoth than we actually even see in the movie.
Haven't shown that one to the youngling, but he does love the other newish one of Chewie and the Ewoks on Endor.
Yeah, there's so many good ones. I haven't even seen them all because they're honestly, they're churning them out quite a bit, but like the Luke and Leia one on the sail barge with Jabba is awesome.
Yep. Awesome.
Man, there's just some good stuff. I'm very into it. It's just kind of like you said, like it's encompassing so much of Star Wars in so short a time in a stylized way. And last thing on our schedule, Mike, and this is something you just referenced a little bit ago, if someone was listening and they heard you say Age of Rebellion and Age of Republic, those are two comic lines that have now completed as of the time you're listening to this episode, that we talked about on the show before, were one-offs about one character in the prequel era, one character, several characters back to back, and same with the Rebellion era, the original trilogy era. And now we have the announcement of the Age of Resistance comics, which is the Resistance era, which of course is the sequel trilogy era. And we're going to have a bunch of comics on the Age of Resistance. And they start the beginning of July, so the time you're listening to this episode, and they go all the way to the end of September, Mike. And I'm just going to read off the characters here. If these sound exciting to you, if they sound exciting to me, I know they sound exciting to Mike. Let's say that. So we have Age of Resistance. And so just like they did with the first two series, they do good guys first, then bad guys. So Age of Resistance, we have Finn. Then we have Age of Resistance Special, which I assume is like a one with several of the characters. Age of Resistance Poe, Age of Resistance Rose, Rey. Okay. Then we have Captain Phasma, General Hux, Supreme Leader Snoke, which is the one people are freaking out about the most I've seen on the internet. And then, of course, the last Age of Resistance is Kylo Ren. That's going to be late September, right before October. We're getting really close to that Rise of Skywalker time. So very interesting.
Yeah. Do you think that Snoke one is going to come in two parts?
Whoa. I
don't
know. Man. Yeah, probably. We'll see. What's really interesting, Mike, is like, think about these sort of things, like you said, marketing and things like that. Will we have more by September, mid September, late September on Rise of Skywalker when it comes to trailers or footage? Maybe not.
That's a good question. I would guess that the actual trailer, not just the teaser,
would be by then.
Would probably come out and around the same time, end of September, early October.
Okay. So maybe it just depends. Like the Snoke one might be nothing, or it might actually be directly tied to Snoke's greater arc in this whole trilogy and maybe his ties to Palpatine. Who knows? Would make sense if we just finally got a full trailer with an actual, maybe not a reveal of Palpatine, but more dialogue. I say more dialogue. The Palpatine laugh at the end of the is not even a new Palpatine laugh. It's an old Palpatine laugh.
I know. We thought it was new, but that was just old 1983 stuff.
And so maybe we'll get some more Palpatine dialogue or something. I don't think...
Roll it again.
I've been saying that all the time.
I do a way better Palpatine than John Wayne. Good Lord.
Roll it again.
Yeah, I've been doing that a lot. But I don't know. If there's Palpatine stuff in the trailer before this comic comes out, who knows? You know they know what they're doing. So if there was something referencing Palpatine in the Snoke comic, it might be there. We will see. And then, of course, we end with a Kylo Ren comic. So that's worth mentioning because we'll probably talk about it in the future. Age of Resistance comic series. Canon.
I'll probably shell out money for those instead of just waiting for them to come to the Unlimiteds like I am a Republican.
Okay, rebellion. Fair enough. Yeah, I would like the graphic novel of all three of them. Be nice. And actually, I got to preface these and say that these are actually split into two graphic novels each. So like Age Republic had a good guys graphic novel and a bad guys. And then same with Rebellion. And
Resistance. Well, of course, they have to get more of your money.
They always do. They always do.
They always do.
Last final bit here, Mike, we got for Rise of Skywalker. Not a lot of news or anything like that, but, you know, Twitter is always something worth mentioning sometimes on our show. Sometimes not worth mentioning at all. But a fan asked Mark Hamill on Twitter, Mark, using only three words, can you give us a hint of what's to come in The Rise of Skywalker? And Mark's answer on Twitter was, my final episode. And, you know, it's just a nice little... It's not a spoiler. It's not, we clearly know this, but it's nice to know us being the Luke centric podcast. Mike, I had to throw this in because it's kind of Mark saying, This is for sure my last Luke thing. And there you go.
I've seen so many people, you know, take this and run with this, him being, you know, unhappy again, or still, think. And this is stuff. Nah. I suppose that is possible. That's not like
he might be bummed, but I mean,
well, I don't think he's bummed. It's over. These people are saying that he still disagrees with the direction of the character and with how the sequels have gone.
We will see.
I don't know if that's the case, but I think this is just as politely trollish / clever.
He's
he's pretty good. this isn't the spoiler. It's just technically the end because that's what the actual trailer says. The end of the Skywalker.
Hence the title too, which I really like. We're going to get a bookend on all of this. So I just thought that was fun to talk about. And it's, you know, it's nice to see Mark, as you said, cleverly troll people and also give them a little tidbit of something.
I hope when Rise of Skywalker comes out, that he basically just reveals that all these things that you thought were negative, that was just me, you know, messing with you leading up to it. I actually really do like episode 9 and have come around and am on board with the sequel trilogy or whatever. Yeah,
you never know. But that's really it for our show today, guys. We had, you know, back into Marvel and quite a bit of news, but we will go deeper into this news.
You know, we talked about that Marvel story longer than I thought we would be able to, so good on us.
A lot of Rogue One stuff, I suppose, to talk about. But, you know, we will return to the Marvel stories like in the very near future. We're going to keep this going, right?
That's right. I told Jesse if we had to do three of those stupid Legends books back to back to back, we're going to be nice to ourselves and do some comics back to back to back, even if they're kind of disappointing like this arc was.
And Mike's going to enjoy this now, but what Mike doesn't know is when we run out of canon material, which will happen before we run out of Legends material, then we're going to have no choice. And then he's going to be begging.
I know that. I'm just not thinking about it. I know it. I'm just not thinking about it.
Mike, we got six new Jedi Orders back to back because there's literally nothing canon to put in the middle. We just have to do it.
Then we just canceled the show. It's fine. Oh, wait, no, we committed to Celebration next year already.
Yes, dang, we it did. So we hope you guys are enjoying the show. And we hope you guys are enjoying your summer as well while we're doing our slight change of the show. But we're going to, you know, after the summer's over, Mike, we're going to hit it hard again. We, as we've alluded to, and, you know, we still can't say everything because we've got a lot in the works. We've got a lot in the works with the show, the future of the show, and obviously Anaheim's going to fuel a lot of that too, but we've got a lot of things that aren't just the show week to week, which, you know, of course we're going to keep doing, but it's future things are coming, and that's part of the reason we got this summer and routine.
Yeah, and again, we apologize for the slowdown in just new episodes being posted and activity on social media. It's just a function of our jobs in the summer.
That's right.
Actually just become very, 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 very busy. As soon as August rolls around, pretty much we will start ramping things back up and be back.
But so funny, like it's just
kind of a seasonal
our
thing.
Slowdown is most people's like regular schedule or their fast schedule. So I'm going to take pride in saying that at least, because you know, it is slow for us. Because we've been basically nonstop. We've been nonstop since the show's released a year ago, literally, at this point.
Oh, we're a week or two away from
we
that.
We are at pretty much a week away from our yearly, like, to the world. But Mike and I have been working on this show since early June of last year. So
that's true.
And obviously, you can't just jump into a podcast right out the gate. You got to do a lot of prep work and a lot of pre-recording and things. So... yeah, we're at our year. We'll probably have to do something for that too, Mike. Our year anniversary.
Jeez.
Maybe we can finally do one of those commentaries we've been planning. Something. We'll look at it. Who knows? But it's pretty exciting time for us nonetheless because we got stuff planned in the future, and we will tell you about that when it happens. But do know that all of your support, following us on all of our social media, contributing to the Patreon, and sharing the show is going to help all these future endeavors, and that helps a lot. Continue to follow us on Twitch too. I know we haven't streamed in some time, but it just hasn't made sense with this current schedule.
That is also going to come back once we get through the
very
summer.
Full force too. And I actually, Mike, as I've said in the past, I want to do more gaming stuff on Twitch, and I'm very serious about that. So please follow us on our Twitch. So find the Cannon Cantina on twitch.tv and follow us there. We're trying to get past 50 followers and get a following there. So when we go live, you guys actually know it. But you know, go to thecannoncantina.com for links to all of our social media that I've been talking about. And you can also listen to the show there. We also have a support page that links you to the Patreon and the TeePublic. The Cannon Cantina is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, Podcast Addict, YouTube, Spotify. We're all those places and more. If we're not somewhere that you like to listen to your podcast on or one of your podcatcher of choice, please let us know.
That's right. So spread the word, rate, review, subscribe. If you think we can do something better, send us an email at canoncantina@gmail.com. As always, you can check us out on TeePublic or we've got our Patreon where we've got... we promise there is bonus content there. It's just also been hit by this summer slowdown a little bit, but it is there. So that'll do it for us here in the Cannon Cantina today. Cheers, everybody.
May the force be with you.
Boring conversation anyway.